This is Orson Welles, speaking from London.
To keep you in suspense.
I had a be everyday grind.
Night transmissions. This is Gary Clinton, and I'm back. Now, I know that at least some of you have noticed that I missed a few shows. Well, first it was Christmas, then it was New Year's, and then my computer died, and then I got kind of sick. I'm doing better now, quite a lot better now. But I can't promise that I'm going to be all that timely in the future. In the beginning of March, I'm going to have surgery on my eyes. Nothing terribly serious. Cataract operations are pretty routine these days. A few weeks ago, I went to my eye doctor, and he asked if I had been seeing well lately. I admitted as to how my visual acuity had declined, or so it seemed to me. He said, well, I thought so. We're going to have to do something about those cataracts. So, on the 4th of April, they're going to do one eye, and about a week later they're going to do another. After that, I will have run out of eye. But I don't know how that's going to affect my output. I'm going to try to get a show or two ahead here in the next couple of weeks and not miss any more for a while. In fact, that's my plan for the spring. Get 5 or 6 shows ahead so that if something comes up again, I'll still be able to crank them out. In the meantime, I do want everyone who wrote me, and there were a few, to know how much I appreciate your show and support for the show and concern for me personally. In order to get a few shows ahead, I'm probably not going to blather on as much as I have. What was that? Do I hear a sigh of relief? Sounded like a sigh. Oh, it was just my cat. Sorry about that. Anyway, in connection with my promise for brevity.
Good evening. This is Crime Classics. I am Thomas Highland with another true story of crime. Listen. A man walking along a cobbled street in Whitechapel. It's an April evening, and a pleasant one. A spring rain has just finished, and the street lamp spread skins of light over the wetted pavements. Stroll. Nowhere in particular. Hanbury Street is as good as any other. But look there. The young woman waiting.
Well, look who it is, won't you? If it ain't old saucy you hisself. Pleasant night, ain't it? Walk in, will you? I walk along with you, you won't mind. I like April, don't you? And the rain makes everything fresh and nice, don't it? Oh, now, there's a pretty garden, ain't it? Flowers all red.
Tonight, my report to you on Good Evening. My name is Jack the Ripper.
Crime Classics, a series of true crime stories taken from the records and newspapers of every land, from every time. Your host each week, Mr. Thomas Highland, connoisseur of crime, student of violence, and teller of murders. Now, once again, Mr. Thomas Highland.
Thank you. The year was 1888, and the place was London. The first murder had taken place on April 3rd and was not reported in the London Times. The woman's name was Emma Elizabeth Smith, and she had blonde hair.
I have blonde hair, too.
The second murder took place not far from the first, near the Groveyard buildings in Whitechapel. The woman's name was Martha Tabram, and the police noted that she died exactly the same way as Emma Elizabeth Smith. Horribly, by knife. To be noted, Martha had blonde hair, too, and her eyes were dark.
My eyes are dark, too, and I have blonde hair.
Third murder, August 31st, Bucks Row, also in Whitechapel. Horribly, by knife, died Anne Nichols. To be noted, Anne had blonde hair, and her eyes were dark, and there was a gaiety about her.
Oh, I have dark eyes, and my hair is blonde. My name is Mary Jane Kelly.
And you want a room, dearie?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You come with me, then. Pretty room for a pretty girl. Where are you from, dearie?
Well, I was born in Limerick, and 16 when I went to Wales.
Now you've come to London.
I've been to Paris.
And now you've come to London. What for?
I've been all over.
And how many places the police looking for you, dearie?
Whatever do you say?
Ah, pretty like you, in a room like this.
Oh, I don't mind. Is there a way to come through?
Through the back.
Oh, well, this will do nice.
The neighborhood in which Mary Jane Kelly found a room may be best described as a slum. Rows of poor lodging houses dedicated to the proposition that it is more difficult to find a criminal in a swarm. Mary's room number, oddly enough, was 13.
I never was a superstitious kind. Just to have fun. That's all I like. Live and have fun.
The room itself was a straw mattress and a chair to fling one's clothes over. Now, at this instant, this precise time when Mary Jane Kelly entered her room, three blocks away on Hanbury Street, you remember, a man walking along a cobbled street. April evening, after rain. Stroll. But look there.
Well, look who it is, won't you?
Said the young woman who was waiting, whose name was Annie Chapman.
If it ain't old saucy you hisself. Pleasant night, ain't it? Walk in, will you? I walk along with you, you won't mind. I like April, don't you? And the rain makes everything fresh and nice, don't it? Oh, now, there's a pretty garden, ain't it? Flowers already...
Got a new roomer today.
Oh, that's nice.
A sailor boy.
Oh, that's nice.
His cheeks rosy from the sea.
Oh, that's nice.
And he asked me today, what's a sailor to do in Whitechapel for a little fun? What kind of fun, I asked, and he says, for a chap like me. And I gave him a wink and a push with my elbow, and he says, no, lady, no, that's not what I'm talking of. A good girl, a nice girl I'd like to meet.
Oh?
And he wears an earring in his ear, and he comes from the West Indies, he says, and he comes to live here with a sea chest. I put him in room 12.
Oh, why, that's just across the hall from me.
Oh, yes. I peeked in a minute ago, and the lad's having a sleep. Not more than 17 years. Oh, rosy cheeks. keeps his sea chest under his bed. Well, dearie?
The chest is locked.
Ain't that a shame? Oh, my. Another.
Another what?
Murder.
Who?
Her name was Anne Chapman, the papers say, eh?
Hey, did you know her?
Yeah, she was in these parts for some time, I know her. By whatever name.
Read me more what it says.
Her throat was cut.
Ooh.
She was lying close up against the wall and her eyes staring ahead.
Ooh.
It says here.
Hey, what else?
And her rings were torn from her fingers. Oh, but laid out real neat alongside her.
Horrid.
And it says here that man that did in Anne Chapman did in the other three. Same way of killing, it says here.
Oh, what kind of man would do killings like that?
That kind of man that did it. There's all kinds, you should know.
What else it say?
It says they've named him.
Oh?
They've named him the Ripper.
Robbie's a nice name.
I'm glad you like it.
A sweet and innocent name.
Thank you. Why are you laughing?
Oh, here you sail the seven seas, and look where we walk to, the Thames River. Well, I should imagine you were a sailor and come home from a long voyage. You wouldn't want to come so near to water again.
I'd walk with you wherever.
Oh, now.
I would, too.
Tell me a thing, Robbie.
Oh, I want to.
Where you come from, and what's your home?
From Boston.
Oh, such a lad to be so far away.
Well, I'm 17, and all my life I've been wanting to sail.
Hey, let's sit here, Robbie.
Aye. It's truly remarkable.
What is?
A fair lady like you should be sitting next to me.
Oh, I like you, Robbie. Robbie?
Yes?
How did you come to Whitechapel?
Oh, it's where the cheapy rooms are.
Don't you have no money?
Not what you'd call money.
I don't understand you.
Well, things I bought in the Indies with money.
Oh.
A pearl or two and some other stones and coral things. You ought to see, I've got my sea chest filled with
Hush.
All... But I'd like
Hush.
To...
Hush! You shouldn't say, Robbie. You shouldn't trust nobody. But there's thieves and thieves and thieves. Come along fast as you would never think. And take your key to your sea chest right from... From wherever.
Oh, they wouldn't do that. There's thieves and thieves and thieves. But they couldn't rob my key from me because I got it right here.
Oh, kiss me, Robbie.
What?
Kiss me.
Yes. Oh, Mary, you're so wonderful.
As she was lifting his key from wherever... Now, at this instant, at this precise time, when Mary Jane Kelly was kissing an apprentice seaman and making a sailor out of him, up from the London docks and north a mile away, Whitechapel, this was happening at midnight on Berner Street.
Oh, where do you go, laddie-o? Where do you go, sweet lad, sweet lad, when you go away from me?
Elizabeth Stride, blonde hair, dark eyes, a melancholy kind of gaiety.
You want to hear another verse, lovey?
She said to the man she's met a little while ago.
Do you go to Dover? Do you go to Dee, sweet lad, sweet lad? When you go away from...
Thank you. With regards the murders in Whitechapel, the coroner had this to say, and I quote, "I am afraid there will be more murders just like these four. These women were slain by a man who knows considerable about anatomy. That being the case, a madman is probably at large." Unquote. If this sounds like a non sequitur to you, it sounds like one to me, too. My guess is that the coroner was shaky about the whole thing. Certainly all of London was. And the morning after the night of the knife and Elizabeth Stride, the conversations in Miller's Court went something like this.
Elizabeth Stride, I can't believe it.
Did you know her?
No. Know her? Know her, she asks me.
How well?
She worked for me.
Worked for you?
Well, you can call it that if you have to. She helped me to pay for her lodgings. Moved away only last month, she did.
What was she like?
Blondie she was. Yellow hair.
I have yellow hair.
Oh, not so yellow as yours. And she had dark eyes. Oh,
my eyes are dark, too.
Oh, less brown than yours was. Oh, she was a laugher, she was. Why are you laughing?
Oh, look at the skin on my arm now. Chilled, and for no reason. Martha.
What, dearie?
Oh, I'm silly to fright. Those four of them, blonde hair and...
You're silly to fright. None so pretty as you, nor as young. Tell me.
What?
Was there truly a pearl in the sailor's sea chest?
Ah, was letters from his mother in Boston. Nothing else.
Oh, you mean Fox Diddy. Sweet and innocent he was. And rosy cheeked. And now he's off to sea again.
Good morning, ladies. I said good morning to you.
I'm running respectable lodgings, officer, and there's no reason why you should be coming in
no,
here.
No, Marthy, love, keep your shirt on. Well, who's this pretty one with you, Marthy? Who's she?
Pinch her cheek and get done with it, officer. Tell us what you're doing here.
Pretty, pretty. What's your name?
Mary. Mary Jane Kelly.
Mary Jane Kelly. Ain't you afraid, Mary?
Afraid of what?
Why, Jack the Ripper.
Sir.
Yes, Mary.
Truly, is there such a one?
As surely as I'm standing here. A monster of some sort.
Well, he ain't here, so skedaddle.
He's written on the wall that he's going to kill 16 more before he's done.
Ooh.
Girl officer, thicks about pretty. That's me, sir. Don't you fright.
What do you want here? You ain't told us that.
Questions?
Of what?
I'm told that the girl that met the Ripper last night, Elizabeth Stride, she was. I'm told she lived here. I'm told she worked here.
And?
I thought maybe you could answer me then if she had a man friend. Special, that is.
Elizabeth? Betty? Men? Oh, no, not Elizabeth. Not Betty. Oh, no.
You're sure now?
I'd swear on my dear Aunt Anna's grave.
Then what of you, pretty?
Oh, I'm new to London, sir.
Oh, now don't you let this Ripper fella fright you.
I know, sir. Not with you about.
Ah, that's my girl. That's my girl, all right, ain't you? Ain't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mary? Mary?
What is it?
Open up quick, Mary. Oh, Mary.
Whatever's the matter?
Come quick. Come with me quick.
Where to?
He's got his door open a little bit and he's sitting there and I want you to take a look at him.
Who are you talking about?
The new roomer. He just arrived.
Oh, no.
Come take a look. Quiet now. We'll take a peek at him. Oh, and some manners. He sits there and reads his book. Quiet now.
Oh, my.
Now, quickly, before he gets up and sees us, gets us away from here. Oh, he is handsome, isn't he?
I suppose.
You suppose? Handsomer than any about here?
I suppose. Listen, you love somebody, then they're handsomer than anything.
Love somebody?
Like I love Officer Thomas Thicke.
Love him?
With all my heart and soul.
Well, now. Well, now.
With all my heart and soul.
Couldn't you go talk to my new roomer a bit? For all time's sake. Welcome him, so to speak. He seems like a lonely man.
No.
No?
I'm to meet Officer Thick in a sec.
Truly?
Truly.
Well.
Thomas Thick, now you've got the money. Oh, just because you're a police officer, you don't have to be proud. Besides, I love you true.
Oh, you're a girl, Mary. You're truly a girl.
Ah, don't you be proud. Let me be proud of you.
Come, I'll walk with you.
What?
Wait here.
Thomas, what was it?
That drunken...
She screamed.
A trick. She's playing a trick. Like the Ripper was at her. She saw me walking with you and that drunken...
Oh, I don't say nothing too bad against her. Everybody lives here in these alleys. You forget what's funny and what's not funny.
Now, you're a dear girl. Come, I'll walk you home.
You best leave me here, Thomas. I can walk the half of the block. Besides...
Besides what?
They laugh at me. The other ones at Martha's. That I'm walking with an officer. They say that's awful funny.
Well, I'll not let you walk alone. Not these times with Jack and his knife about.
He ain't done that thing he does for weeks now. So don't you worry. Here, give us a kiss, Thomas, and look for me tomorrow.
I wish you'd let me walk with you.
Just give us a kiss. Now, look for me tomorrow. Sorry, sir. I didn't see you. Well, you're the new roomer, ain't you? There at Martha's, ain't you? Well, good night.
I'm laughing, sir, because I'm happy. And when I'm happy, I'm a girl to know. I don't know you, sir, but you appear to me a gentleman of uncommon worth. So if I say to you, let's find a pub...
Murder. Murder most foul. The sixth, Catherine Eddowes, found in a footpath in Mitre Square, lying on her back, head inclined to the left side. Her throat had been cut. Other lacerations indicated great anatomical skill by the killer. Jack the Ripper had slain his sixth victim, and London was washed again against the heights of terror. A hysteria took hold, fingers were pointed, and Jack the Ripper shouted, and innocent men would be stoned. And Whitechapel was caught up in an orgy of self-guilt.
It's a fiend from hell that's loose among us.
Martha.
And Judgment Day's closing down on us.
I can't find
him. And the night of witches and beasties is nigh. Maybe even this very night.
I've looked all over and I can't find him.
What are you babbling? Why are you standing there babbling?
Thomas Thick is no longer in Whitechapel.
What do you mean?
He was seen going about with me. And they took him from Whitechapel to another place. And I can't find him.
Oh, dearie, that's not so bad, is it?
But I loved him.
And gave him your money.
What of it?
And he took it. Mary.
What?
The new rumor. Oh, a gentleman. Now, there's one for you.
See how he stands outside there on the stoop, the way he smokes a cigar. A true gentleman.
Oh, what of it?
He's lonely.
What of it?
Well, can't you tell he's lonely?
Why should I care?
You're lonely too.
Yes, I am.
Then go to him. Talk to him. He's looked at you. I know he has.
Such a handsome one.
And he's looked at you.
Oh, has he now?
I swear on my Aunt Anna's grave.
Has he now? Does my hair look all right?
Softy gold.
Truly?
Truly. And your eyes so dancing dark. Enjoy, dearie.
Hello. Oh, isn't it a lovely night? So warm for November. Spring, really. I love walking. Oh, not so quickly, please. You take such long steps. Oh, I'm chilly. It's not warm at all. Oh, let's go back to my room. I'll fetch a coat or whatever. I must tell you, Martha said a thing. You know Martha. She said you were looking at me. Oh, no, no. If we go down the alley here, we can go in the back way. Well, I'll tell you. I've been looking at you. Right down there. I've put some pictures up on my wall. Oh, you'll like them, I know. Ah, right in here. Thank you. Now, I'll just light the lamp.
The seventh, the last, the greatest unsolved crime in history. The year was 1888, and it's generally considered that Jack the Ripper was a very young man, and it's thought that he ran away to America. So that spry old gentleman over there carving so deftly the roast, spooning out the kidney pie, or that one there whittling, or the one there silver-haired, a fine surgeon by day. Well, I'm just pointing out the possibility, that's all.
Jack the Ripper, tonight's crime classic, was adapted from the original newspaper accounts by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. The music was composed and conducted by Bernard Herrmann, and the program is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Thomas Highland is portrayed on radio by Lou Merrill. In tonight's story, Betty Harford was heard as Mary and D.J. Thompson as Martha. Featured in the cast were Irene Tedrow, Ben Wright, Paula Winslow, James McCallion, and Richard Peel. Roy Rowan speaking.
Ellery Queen's Minute Mysteries. This is Ellery Queen with the case I call the Deep Sea Murder. When a young scuba diver was found murdered, his equipment tampered with, it appeared to be the work of a fellow diver. I questioned him at length. I don't think you can prove I did anything to his equipment, he said confidently. Besides, I rather think he panicked in the deep water and tried to get to the surface in a hurry. Sounds like a good alibi, doesn't it? It was for a while, I replied, but you're guilty of murder. In a moment, I'll tell you why.
I wouldn't be carried away or anything, but this is our first break. I promise not to be too annoying or anything.
Chocolate flavored Bosco is mighty good for me. Mama puts it in my milk for extra energy. Bosco gives me iron and sunshine vitamin D. Oh, I love Bosco. That's the drink for me.
In the case of the deep sea murder, the suspect knew you cannot surface quickly from a deep dive. His statement that the victim tried to get to the surface in a hurry proved his guilt. He shouldn't have made that statement. He hasn't made many more, either. Listen again to Ellery Queen's Minute Mysteries.
Next up is an episode of Dark Fantasy from January the 23rd of 1942. The program was written and directed by Scott Bishop, who would later work on The Mysterious Traveler and the Sealed Book. It originated from Oklahoma City.
Dark Fantasy. I am the master of the headless dead.
I say, guard.
Just call me Swiss, sir. Spelled with an E at the end.
Yes, of course. You reminded me before.
What were you about to say, sir?
I was about to observe that this Tower of London is quite a historic place.
That it is, sir. Historic indeed.
And haunted, I have heard tell.
Oh, have you now, sir?
Oh, yes. Don't tell me you haven't heard stories about the tower's ghosts.
Perhaps I have. Perhaps not.
Of course, I don't believe that sort of rubbish, you know.
Rubbish?
Certainly rubbish. Don't tell me, Mr. Swift, with an E, don't tell me you believe in such things as ghosts and haunts.
What I believe, sir, I believe.
Certainly not the legend of the gambling spook of Wycott Hall.
The ghost invariably appears whenever a gambling game is in progress in Wycott Hall here in the tower. And always wins the stakes.
Yes. Don't tell me you believe such a fantastic yarn as that. Or such an unbelievable story as the one about the pig-faced specter of the rectory.
I imagine Brother Randolph would tell you there's nothing fantastic about the story at all.
Brother Randolph?
Yes, sir. He's the overseer of the rectory. He's seen the specter many times.
He's probably just superstitious.
Brother Randolph says the thing is always dressed in a long black cloak. Has the body of a human, but the face is that of some grotesque and repulsive animal.
It sounds like an old wives' tale.
Oh, mind you, sir, I'm not trying to convince you about such things. That's the entrance to the choir loft, the chapel over there.
Chapel. But no, there was one in here.
It's the chapel of St. Peter Adventicular.
Is it possible for me to go in there?
Picking your pardon, sir. That's what the climb of the stairs was for. You always like to show visitors the choir loft, the chapel.
Well, then, let's have a gamble at the place, shall we?
Yes, indeed, sir. Yes. Yeah, the key. You always keep this locked. Nor Abbott anything else. Nobody ever climbs those steps unless they're showing them through the tower. Here we are, sir.
Yeah, I say. It's dark in there. How about a light, my man?
Oh, no, blimey. I completely forgot to turn the lights on. The fuse box down below. If you don't mind waiting, sir.
Oh, no. Wait. I wouldn't ask anyone to climb those steps again. There's enough light coming through the stained glass panes. I say, would you lead the way?
Yes, just of course. Watch your step, sir. Step up here. There you are, sir. You can observe the chapel below, sir.
Yes. Deserted looking, isn't it?
It isn't as deserted as you might think, sir.
What was that?
You see only as far as you permit yourself to see, sir.
I don't believe I understand.
If you look for emptiness, sir, you see emptiness.
But it is empty down there.
Is it, sir?
I suppose you're trying to tell me this chapel is haunted, too.
As is it ought to be, sir.
Right.
Yes, indeed. You see, sir, it's the burial place of the headless dead.
It's another of those idiotic legends.
Hardly a legend. You see those flagstones down there, in front of the altar?
Frankly, yes.
Those stones form more than just the sanctuary floor, sir. They're also tombstones.
Why do you tell me such a thing as that, Mr. Swift?
Because it's truth.
You mean people are buried beneath those flagstones?
Including, I might add, two of England's queens.
Not actually.
Oh, yes, actually.
I've never heard that before.
Few people have, sir.
Then that's why you say the place down there isn't deserted.
In a manner of speaking, that's what I mean. Yes. Have you observed the huge pipe organ here in the loft, sir?
Hmm? Oh, yes. I noticed when we came in. But getting back to what you were talking...
It's quite a famous instrument, I must say. Been played by dozens of famous people.
Oh, it has. Could I play it?
Well, it's against regulations, sir, but, well, if you play softly, sir.
Oh, now, I say, that's mighty good of you. I do have somewhat of a reputation for playing the organ.
You play well, sir. Quite well.
Thank you. It's a rather old instrument, isn't it? Beautiful tone, though. Beautiful.
Et verum erat in principio.
What's that?
Ac erat in principio. Aper verbum.
Keep playing, sir. Keep playing.
What?
Quickly, sir, before it's too late. Play.
In testimonium.
That voice. What is it?
No one knows. He always speaks like that in Latin. Whenever a stranger plays this organ for the first time.
Et testimonium.
No one has ever seen who it is.
Is he gone?
Yes. You'll hear no more of him today.
But what's the explanation? Who is it? Why does he do that?
There is no explanation. I must admit, sir, I've often heard of the ghost of St. Peter's Chapel, but this is the first time I've actually heard him.
He always does that?
Whenever a stranger plays his organ for the first time.
Will he return if I play again?
No. He always speaks just once. And he's never heard again until another organist plays for the first time.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible.
I say, sir, it's about closing time. Do you mind if I leave you now?
No, of course not.
You recall your way out of the tower, I trust. Look around the one longer if you wish, and I'll return later to lock this car loft.
But I don't know whether I want to remain here.
Oh, don't worry, sir. You're quite all right. Besides, you don't believe in such rubbish as ghosts.
Yes, but
I'm happy to show you around, sir. By the way, what did you say your name is?
Holman. Frederick J. Holman.
Well, then I'm very happy to have known you, Mr. Holman. Who knows? Perhaps your visit here will make you a changed man.
Hmm. Whatever did he mean by that? I say, what's come over me? I feel so sleepy. Yes, sleepy. I'd best sit here in this pew.
strange. Never felt like this before. I'll sleep here a while. Then go home. Here in this chapel pew. I say, the door's closed now. Mr. Swift evidently returned, locked me in. That's strange. Why didn't he awaken me? What's that? No. No. It can't be. Those stones at the foot of the altar. They're being pushed up by someone underneath. Hands. And arms. Long, bony arms. Pushing up the flagstones. And over to the right. Two ghostly figures. Rising out of the tombs in the floor. No. No, it's not possible. It can't be. Figures. Dozens of them now. Leaving their tombs. Forming a procession down the middle aisle of the chapel. And each of them is headless. And carrying his head before him in his hands. Procession down the center aisle. Marching. 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 On soundless feet. That man in front. The one in ancient armor. He seems to be the leader of those fantastic creatures. Oh, is this a dream? Is this a nightmare?
No. It is not a dream.
How did you get up here? Just a moment ago, you were down below, leading the procession.
It is not our custom to hold our rights while an intruder is present.
But I was locked in here. I didn't intend to be here.
Now that you are here, you must make the most of it.
What do you mean?
You're now as one of us.
It was you who prayed when I played the organ earlier today.
Yes. I always pray when a stranger sits at the console. You see, it was I who first played this organ when it was installed. Don't you think I play well?
Why do you return? And others play it.
Because no one could ever play it as well as I. Therefore, I pray for them.
You're dead. And yet, you're playing the instrument now.
Yes. I always provide the music for our nightly meetings.
I don't understand all this. Those others down there. They're ghastly creatures. Headless.
Yes. They were less fortunate than I. You see, I managed to keep my head.
They were executed.
How else would they have come to be headless? You see, we would become quite uncomfortable lying in our graves beneath the flagstone floor if we didn't arise occasionally and stretch ourselves.
Good heavens.
Look, you, down below there. Will it amaze you for me to tell you that in that procession are some of history's most famous people?
Surely this isn't happening.
Indeed. Believe me, you're quite mistaken. Didn't you know that here in the chapel of St. Peter ad Ventricula are buried such famous people as Sir Thomas More, Henry VIII's queens, Anne Boleyn and Catherine Howard?
I do remember that, but
as well as Lady Jane Grey and Dudley, her husband, and Sir Walter Raleigh and the Duke of Monmouth.
But they have all been dead for hundreds of years.
How true. How very true. Rick Holman, you will join us.
What?
I said, you will join in the procession with us.
No, not I.
It must be so. No one can look upon the procession of the headless dead unless he joined them to save himself.
Save myself? What do you mean?
You will discover what I mean if you refuse to take part in the ceremony.
But not now. Not tonight. Perhaps later. Yes, some other time.
It will be more satisfactory for you to join us tonight.
I can't tonight. Can't we make it some other night? I fell asleep here. It's later than I thought.
It's exactly midnight.
I must return home. My family will be frantic. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll return to join you
tomorrow at midnight.
What?
Tomorrow at midnight. You will return to join in the procession.
Yes. Yes, that's fine. You can count on it.
Raise your right hand.
My right hand?
Yes. Raise it. Now, repeat after me. I solemnly swear.
I solemnly swear.
By the souls of the sacred dead.
By the souls of the sacred dead.
To return to this chapel tomorrow at midnight.
To return to this chapel tomorrow at midnight.
So help me, heaven.
So help me, heaven.
Now, can I go?
Yes, but the door to the choir loft is locked.
It is locked. But you will have no trouble going out through it. And remember, Frederick Holman, tomorrow night at midnight.
Frederick, dear, you are worried about something. I know you are. It was 1 o'clock when you came home last night. You've never done that before.
No, I know, Laura, my dear, I know.
You acted so strangely when you did get home. What's more, you didn't sleep. You tossed all night long.
Laura, I must tell you something.
Well, I certainly think I have some explanation coming.
Yes. Yes, you have. I don't know how you're going to accept this, but... Well, here goes. I went to visit the Tower of London yesterday. I saw the prison cells and the execution and torture chambers. Finally, the guard took me to the little chapel of St. Peter ad Ventricula. So I promised to return to the chapel tonight at midnight. They permitted me to leave the chapel.
Frederick, surely you were dreaming.
No, I'm sure it was no dream. It was all too realistic. I saw those people and heard them.
Oh, but things like that don't happen.
I'm very positive this happened, Laura.
Oh, nonsense. You were just affected by those ghost stories that guy told you about the tower.
Oh, dear, you're wrong. I'd never believed in such things before. No? Well...
But surely you don't intend to go back there tonight. Do you?
I don't know, Laura. I don't know.
Oh.
Hello. Hello, Laura. I say, Laura, are you there? Laura.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I thought for a moment we'd been disconnected. Yes, I can hear you now. And what I called for, dear, was to say I'm dining at the club tonight. Yes, old Simon Joster is off to the Orient. We're having a dinner for him. Yes, I'll be home early. Huh? What's that? No, Laura. I've decided not to go to the tower tonight. I think you're probably right. It all must have been a dream.
Mr. Holman, your car, sir.
Oh, thank you, Henry.
Shall I drive you to the tower, sir?
Tower? Of course not, Henry. Drive me straight home. Whatever made you think I'd want to go to the tower at this time of night?
I don't rightly know, sir. Begging your pardon, Mr. Holman, I don't know what made me ask you that. Really, I don't.
Don't drive me home, Henry.
Yes, sir.
Oh, by the way, what time do you have, Henry?
It's just a minute or two before midnight, sir.
Oh, very well. Take me home at once.
Did you say something, sir?
Did you hear something, Henry?
Hear something, sir?
Yes, the voice.
Voice, Mr. Holmes.
Don't you hear that voice?
No, sir, I don't hear nothing, sir.
To him.
You must be tired, sir. There's nobody.
Good voice.
Really, sir?
Don't tell me you haven't heard the camping spook of Wycott Hall.
In principios verbum.
No. No, it can't be.
Of the Randolph's king face. Actor of the rectory.
No one could ever play the organ as well as I.
That's what he said. The man in armor.
You see, only as far as you permit yourself to see, sir.
You see, I manage to keep my head.
If you look for emptiness, sir, you see emptiness.
Then, but it wasn't a dream.
The flagstones of the sanctuary floor are also tombstones.
It's true. It wasn't a dream.
You must join our procession.
Henry.
The headless dead.
Join our procession.
The headless dead.
Join our procession.
The headless dead.
Henry, in the name of heaven, man, look where you're driving.
I can't stop, sir.
Look out, you're going to hit that bus. Mr. Holmes,
Henry, look out!
Mr. Holman, are you all right, sir? We hit that truck and... Mr. Holman, we hit that truck broadside and... Mr. Holman... Look, Alan! Listen!
Greetings, Frederick Holman, and welcome. I am pleased that you have kept your appointment with us.
Oh.
you have heard The Headless Dead, tonight's original tale of dark fantasy by Scott Bishop. Ben Morris played Frederick Holman. Eleanor Naylor Corin was Mrs. Holman. Fred Wayne was Swift. Garland Moss was the leader of The Headless Dead. And Murillo Schofield was heard as the chauffeur. Next Friday night at the same time, we'll bring you a strange and weird tale of the unusual. Death is a Savage Deity, based upon Scott Bishop's novel of the same name. Listen for this breathtaking tale of witchcraft and black magic. Dark Fantasy originates each Friday night in the studios of WKY, Oklahoma City.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Now a little ditty from 1901.
Smoke, sung by Bert Shepherd. I'm going to sing you a lovely little song called Smoke. The reason I sing it is because I like smoke. Yeah, indeed, I do. I'm a great smoker. It's very seldom I spend 25 cents for a cigar, but when I want a good smoke, I walk right in and put down my 25 cents and get a good cigar and 20 cents change, and I enjoy it. Indeed, I do. I like a good cigar. Since my old granddad passed away and left his pile to me, I've faced in life in many lands beyond the restless sea. But now that I'm back home again, the sweetest thing I've found is weaving golden fancies while enjoying my cigar. As I smoke, smoke, smoke out in my garden town, and I dream, dream, dream in grandfather's old armchair, and I see a vision that's framed in hope, the faces of dear ones that smile upon me in the smoke, smoke, smoke. As racing seems to be the race, I thought I'd take a chance. So sport-like to the track I went and played a horse called Trance. I played that horse at 10-1. My first did Sunday prize. For at the post, Trance fell asleep and came in 10-5. Was a joke, joke, joke. But the point I failed to see. Now I'm sad, sad, sad. He didn't run 1-2-3. I was tipped by a mouse quite unforeknew. I lost all my money on one big long shot. Now I'm broke and blue. My chickens would not rise at dawn. Twas singular but true. My next door neighbor heard of it and told me what to do. I placed some yeast and water in a jar upon the floor. Well, talk of raising chickens, such a rise you never saw. As they soak, soak, soak out in my garden pail, till that jar, jar, jar of water and yeast was fair. Then they flew, 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 those chickens about the smoke. They lay loaves of bread that were light as my head. Then I woke, woke, woke.
We got a break, but we'll be back real soon with some science fiction. I hope you like science fiction. I sure do. Coming up next is kind of a treat, actually. It's an episode of Dimension X from November the 5th of 1950. And is an adaptation by George Lepters of an L. Ron Hubbard story. the professor was a thief. Look, I don't know what you think of L. Ron Hubbard as a prophet. I'll tell you the truth right here, right now. I don't think much of L. Ron Hubbard as a prophet. But I think he was an excellent pulp science fiction writer. Even there towards the end of his life, when some say he was getting a little bored with Scientology and went back to writing pulp science fiction, it was pretty good. Battlefield Earth is an extremely entertaining novel. The 10 or 12 volume epic Mission Earth, well, I read them all. Not as good as Battlefield Earth, not as good as Fear, but pretty darn good. So help me, Zeno. Or is it Zeno? Yeah.
Adventures in Time and Space. Transcribed in Future Tense. Dimension. Can you predict what will come in 100 years? Or in 10? Or in the next minute? Can you see beyond the known dimensions of time and space into the unknown dimension X? Today we tell you a story of America's largest city, a story that began in the bustling city room of a New York metropolitan theater.
Sweeney?
Give me a rewrite, quick.
I'll take it.
Okay, now look. Look on Riverside Drive, see?
So?
So, at 12:45 today, just 3 minutes ago, Grant Stone disappeared.
At what?
I'm telling you, it's disappeared. It's gone.
Listen, Sweeney, get yourself to a Turkish bath. Sober up.
Pop, I swear I'm sober as a judge. Listen to me, will you?
Just a minute. Albert.
What's up, Pop?
Call the Hunters Detective Precinct. Find out if anything's been reported missing.
Like what?
Like Grant Tomb. Go on, make it snappy.
Okay, Pop.
All right, Trini, now give it to me slow. This better not be a gag.
No gag, Pop. Now get it down. The traffic at the drive was at its noon hour peak. And the benches and structure were filled with happy, laughing people. Then, without a warning, a rumble sounded as the alarm populace roared to its
horrible. Hold it, Trini. Well, Albert.
I don't get it. They say that Grant's tomb is gone.
Okay, call some posing. Tell them to hold everything for an extra. Clear out page one. Get going. Okay, Trini, now. The heck with the word Jimmy the Garbage. What happened?
Nobody knows. There are half a dozen police cars around here staring at the place where Grant's tomb was. I was about a block away. I heard screams. I came running. It was gone. Vanished.
How many dead?
Nobody knows if anybody is dead.
We'll find out.
How can I find out when everybody was sitting on the steps and all disappeared?
What?
Gone.
Nobody?
No tomb, Pop. No tomb.
Okay, you hoof it back up there and get stories from some witnesses. Now call me back. Albert!
Yes, Pop?
Get Columbia University on the phone and get a statement.
Right.
Research!
Yes, sir!
Grab an encyclopedia, see if anything like this ever happened before. Hey, Walter!
Yeah, Pop?
Call the army, find out about secret weapons. Hey, hello, composing. This is Pop Batterby on the city desk. Start setting up an extra. I want to hit the street in 20 minutes. Second extra in an hour with pictures. Okay, what are you waiting for? Get them rolling.
Pop? Pop?
Oh, I'm busy, Albert.
Yes, sir. Pop, Mr. Colborne wants to see you. Toronto.
Tell him I'm busy.
Well, he says to come now.
Oh, of all the flat-headed publishers to saddle a newspaper with. Okay. Sweeney called. Switch it to Colborne's office.
Okay, Pop.
Come in.
Listen, Mr. Colborne, I'm very busy now. There's an extra on the rollers. And...
I know. I just called composing and ordered them to stop it.
Stop it? Are you...
Atterby, you've been on the city desk of the Herald for 25 years now. Since when do you waste thousands of dollars on an April Fool issue?
April Fool? Listen, Grant's tomb is missing. Is that a story? Or am I dead from the neck up?
Did you check it?
Yes, and Sweeney...
How do you know it's true?
Well, if you...
What do you mean spreading cold terror all over town?
But Sweeney...
The devil with Sweeney. How do you know it isn't just a hallucination? Mass hypnotism, something like that.
Well, what if it is?
Atterby, If this is a farce, we'll be in Dutch, but good. Civil suits, criminal action. We're the only paper in town on the streets with an extra. The other editors don't believe this story for one instant.
It takes guts to run a paper.
Well, if that's what it takes, you've got too many. You took the authority for this without even trying to find me and get an okay.
Your father-in-law knew a story has to run while it's hot.
All right. You ran this while it was so hot, our first 10 papers drove the city into a panic. How do we know this whole thing isn't a big... Hello. Now there's Carborn. Yes, he's here. It what? Oh, well, that's fine. That's fine and dandy. You're fired. It's your star reporter, Mr. Sweeney, formerly of the Herald.
Formerly? Give me that phone. Hello, Sweeney. Did you get the pictures? How are things up there? I'll need more witnesses. Hey, what?
It's back.
Fine, but... What did you say?
It's back. Grant's tomb is back. I'm sorry.
You're sorry. All right, golden boy. Now give it to me slow. Make it sound intelligent.
It just reappeared, that's all.
What about the people who were inside?
All back. Don't remember a thing. It's just like it never happened at all. It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. We got an extra on the streets with 28 types screaming that Grant's tomb has vanished, and you calmly call me up to tell me that it's back.
But it was gone, I tell you, Pop.
Sweeney.
What?
Do me a favor, will you?
Yeah, what?
Drop dead.
Well, that'll be.
Guess we run a retraction. Just doesn't make sense. 12 police cars, Sarge. We've got statements from witnesses.
I told you it was hysteria. Look at the man from Mars broadcast that Orson Welles did. 1,000 people will swear they saw the monsters.
Oh, I don't know. I'm all confused.
Well, let's look at it this way, Adderby. Maybe you've had enough.
Enough what?
You've been on the city desk 25 years now. That makes you, let me see, 55?
54. What are you driving at, Mr. Colby?
I mean, maybe you ought to retire.
Retire?
We need new people, new ideas. I've been thinking about it for some time now. With Social Security, you'd get...
About 20 bucks. Fine. Now, you listen. I brought this paper into the world, and it's going to take me out. I was on that city desk before you ever heard of a sticker type. Then you come along and marry a publisher's daughter and...
That's enough.
I made a mistake, okay. Anybody can make a mistake. I still think there's something in this story. Sweeney's been around too long to blow one like this. Even when he's drunk, he's a better newspaper man than most.
I'm sorry. Effective today, you're relieved as city editor. Sanford will take over.
Sanford? Why, he's green as grass.
If you want to stay on in some minor job...
Such as...
Well, how about science editor?
Science editor.
You can have the office right next to mine. It'll pay the rent. Well?
I don't know. I don't know what I'll do. I've been on the city desk so long.
Well, maybe it's too much excitement for a man your age.
Stop writing me off, will you? I'm sick. I'm 54. And a man at 54...
He's no longer a boy.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I am losing my grip. Gotta go somewhere and think it over.
All right, Adderby. Take your time.
I'll be across the street at Burley's Bar if you need me. I'll let you know before the bulldog hits the streets. Burley! Innkeeper!
Yeah, Pop, yeah?
Oh, poison.
Haven't you had enough, Pop?
Well, it's a solemn occasion, Burley. Call the hemlock.
What's the occasion, Pop?
I am now a husband.
No.
Reduced. Humiliated.
You, Pop? Never.
Meet the new science editor of the Sunday Supplement, me. Know as much about science as J.P. Morgan knows about sharecropping.
What happened? Who did it?
You familiar with a reporter named Aloysius John Sweeney?
Huh?
Former friend and drinking companion of mine?
Sweeney got you busted?
The same.
What?
If that gentleman should ever, by some misforgotten chance, thrust his head into this bar... Burley, my friend, I personally with these two bare hands.
Hey, Pop! Pop!
Uh-oh.
Hey, Pop!
Pop, Pop, it's me.
I shall control my homicidal instinct.
Listen, Pop, I just came down from Riverside Drive.
Very daring move, Sweeney.
I brought a guy with me.
It would help, Sweeney.
Pop, you don't understand. I found a little guy in a swallowtail coat who watched this whole thing happen. Pop. Burley, Burley, quiet. Quiet, everybody. Quiet,
will you?
How do you do? Gentlemen, I can assure you my small stature belies the magnitude of my abilities.
What did you bring him for, Sweeney?
He's a genius, Pop, a full-time genius.
You betrayed me once, Sweeney. Isn't that enough? Take your little man away and don't bother me.
Your friend isn't very polite, Mr. Sweeney. Perhaps one day he will learn that even the most insignificant man has a sense of dignity and personal worth.
I apologize, Professor. I'm not sore at you. It's your tomato-headed friend here. Sweeney, I ought to kill you. I ought to strangle you with my bare hands. I ought to have you run through a rotary press at low speed. Those things are too good for you.
But, Papa, look, I'm trying to tell you. The story ain't phony. It happened. Mr. Pertwee... Hannibal, tell him about it.
Gladly. My contribution has been awaiting worldwide recognition for many years now. Unfortunately, there are some who insist I am insane.
I see that.
Being small of stature, as you can see, I chose to nurse my resentment rather than to take positive measures. However, I feel now the world is ready to come to terms with Hannibal Pertwee.
Can you or can you not explain this Grant's tomb business?
Naturally.
What?
It can all be explained quite simply in terms of the Pertwee system of infinite acceleration and transportational facilitation as applied to freightage. I've been trying to sell it to the railroads for 10 years.
Didn't I tell you he was a genius, Pop?
Hey, the check.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Pop. Give him a chance. Show him the trains, Hannibal.
Oh, yes, the trains. If you gentlemen will gather around the suitcase.
Come on, I want you to see them. I'm telling you.
All right.
Come on, hey, look.
As you can see, I have in this suitcase a complete model railroad reduced to the size of a cigar box. Observe. That's enough, I think.
They run!
Just like real trains!
Sweeney, not content with ruining my life, losing me my job, driving me to alcohol, you're now trying to drive me out of my mind with an obvious madman who builds model railroads.
Here's the money, Bertie. Keep the change.
Oh, but Pop,
goodbye,
look.
Gentlemen.
Pop, you're not even giving him a chance.
Out of my way.
Listen, Pop.
Out of my way.
It's always the same. They won't listen to me.
Well, I guess Pop is losing his grip.
I hate them.
No, don't take it so hard, Hannibal. Maybe it was all a hallucination.
The Pertwee theory is not an hallucination.
Sure. Well, it was a good try anyway. I guess I'll go back to the office and pick up my stuff.
But I'll show them. Someday they'll listen.
Sure. You'll show them, Hannibal. Hey, Burley, fix Professor Pertwee here with a double scotch. Go ahead, make it a triple.
The newest use of the isotope will enable medical experts to trace with accuracy the growth of Carwin Park. Oh, nuts.
Maybe it's better to be unemployed.
Science editor speaking.
Huh?
Yeah.
Sweeney, listen, I got a story.
I thought Carlburn canned you. Does DiMaggio know Yankee Stadium? What about Burley's bar?
It's gone.
Oh, sweet.
On the level, Pop. Just a few seconds ago. Take a look at the window.
Sweeney, I warn
take
you.
Take a look.
Okay, Sweeney, hang on. Albert?
Yes, Pop?
Do me a favor. Stick your head out of that window and tell me if anything unusual is going on at Burley's Corner.
Okay, Pop.
Holy jumping catfish!
Huh?
It's gone. Come here and look.
Well, I'll be a monkey. Where's Carlton?
He went to a polo match out on Long Island.
Who's on the city desk?
Young Stan?
Come on.
City desk, Catherine. Okay, I'll give it to rewrite. Just a second. City desk. What? Are you nuts? What? Everybody listen to this, will you? It's Martinson down at 34th Street. He says the Empire State Building has disappeared. Can you feature that?
What are you going to do about it?
Do? Am I supposed to do something? He's gone nuts.
Give me that phone.
Hey, let's...
Give me that phone. Hello, Marty. This is Pop.
Pop, what are you doing out there?
Never mind. What happened?
Well, I called the precinct. 5 minutes ago, a cop staggered in. It's gone, he says. What's gone, they say? The Empire State, he says. Well, I think I've got a call.
Okay, get down there and get the details. In case you need to convince a Burley's bar went just before you called.
Holy mackerel, what a catastrophe that is. Okay, Pop, I'll call you.
Look at the skyline. The Empire State isn't there.
Well, no, no. Don't get panicky. It may come back, just like Grant's tomb.
Oh, okay, Pop. You'll take over, won't you? I'm kind of shaky.
Will I? I'll show you fledglings how to run a newspaper together. Wallace?
Yeah, Pop?
Tell time we're down to Empire State.
Right. What a story.
Call the mayor, Albert. Tell him what he asked, what he intends to do.
Check.
Where's the research department?
Right here, sir. Columbia University took a draft in the attempt.
Tell him that... No, dress it up and shoot it down.
Yes, sir.
Research? Wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
Find out how many people are usually in the Empire State.
Yes, sir.
No, and don't try to call the Empire State to find out.
No.
No, it isn't there. City death. Shoot.
Listen, I'm dead sober, see?
Yeah, the garbage, Frankie, the garbage.
Remember, I'm sober. I said in sober, always
come on,
in sober.
Come on, what happened?
Help me, Pop. Penn Station just disappeared. Vanished. Thin air.
Jumping churches. The people, too?
People trained the works. I'm telling you, there's a hole a block wide. I was lucky I was only a block away.
You saw it?
Eyewitness.
Oh, bless you, my boy, talk.
There was a rumble, see? A kind of electrical hum in the air. And all of a sudden, the station seemed to cave in on itself. Wango. Nothing.
Any statement?
No, but you ought to see the hall.
Oh, get statements, flathead. Where are you now?
I'm over at the post office, right across the street. Stop! Stop!
Hello. Hello. Hello, Frankie. Operator.
Pop, we got a flash. The United States Post Office just went. The whole darn city is going piece by piece.
Don't lose your head, Albert. Hello.
This is the composing room about the Empire State Building store.
Well, it's old news. We've just lost Penn Station and the Post Office. Get out a new banner head. New York City vanishing.
What about copy?
You don't need copy for a story like this. Tell the linotype operators to use their imagination. Albert!
Pop?
Anything else missing?
Chrysler Building, maybe?
Nothing yet, Pop.
Oh. Anything reappeared yet?
No word on anything.
Maybe things are stabilizing. Call composing. Tell them to start rolling.
Right, Pop.
And find Sweeney. Tell the phone from downstairs a while ago. I forgot all about him.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him he's fired again. I'll print any statement that isn't immoral.
Uh-oh, Pop. Here comes Mr. Trouble.
Annabee!
Oh, now, take it easy, Colvin.
Annabee, what are you doing at the city desk? Where's Sanborn? What's going on here anyway? Has everyone gone out of his mind?
Listen, the Empire State, the Penn Station, and the Post Office have all been missing for almost 5 minutes.
Get away from that desk, you. Drop that telephone.
Listen.
I don't care if Washington, D.C. has been bombed by the Martians. I want you out of this office in 2 minutes. Albert, cast those extras. Pop, you get out your fire.
Oh, you're not being rich.
I'm not interested in the other papers. Just get out of here before I go start raving mad.
Sweeney, where have you been?
I've been trying to make up my mind whether to come up or not. When you left me hanging on the phone, I thought you was insulting me. Hey, how come you aren't on the desk?
Oh, I'm Ken.
Are you kidding?
Oh, it's been coming. I really had the place jumping. You should have seen me, Sweeney. It was like the San Francisco earthquake. Oh, I need a drink. How about... keep forgetting. Isn't any Burleys anymore?
No, just a big hole in the ground.
Let's walk over. I want to browse around.
Oh, Pop, there's nothing to see.
Well, let's take a snoop anyway, just for old time's sake.
Well, okay, Pop, let's cross. We've got the light.
Well, will you look at that? Who'd ever thought that less than 10 minutes ago there was a building here?
Yeah.
Let's climb down and have a look, Sweeney.
Well, what for, Pop? It's getting dark, you know. We'll break our neck.
Sweeney, where's your old reporter spirit? Come on.
Well, okay, but I don't see what you expect to...
Easy.
Clean as a bone.
And let's walk around a bit. See anything?
No, just rocks, pieces of the foundation. I'll bet you the... Pop, wait a minute.
What?
Will you look at this? It's so small, I almost missed it.
Well, I'll be a son of a... A perfect scale model of Burley's. Less than 4 inches tall.
What do you suppose this is doing here?
I don't know.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
Wait, we.
What are you doing down here?
I'm looking for my model. Thank you for finding it.
Oh, this is yours, is it?
Certainly. Now, if you'll be kind enough to hand it to me, I'll just put it back in my suitcase.
You better give it to him, Pop.
All right.
Thank you. There we are. Thank you, gentlemen.
I thought you just went in for model trains.
I have always been preoccupied with tiny things, but lately I've been branching out. Well, I really must be going. Thank you very much.
He's as loony as a bat.
The geniuses are all crazy. I read it in a book.
Sweeney, you get a look in that suitcase.
Sure, I seen it when he opened it in the bar this morning.
I mean just now.
Oh, why?
This morning when he opened his suitcase, he had a little round tube and a set of model trains in it. Nothing else.
So?
This time he had 3 other models.
So what?
Nothing. Except they happened to be models of the Empire State, Penn Station, and the United States Post Office.
There he goes down the block, Pop.
Quickly, come back here.
He's starting to run.
Here, here's a cab. Come on.
What so, Mac?
Catch up with that little guy running down on the block. Make the pass.
Okay, Mac.
There he is. Hold it, cabby, hold it. Come on, Sweeney.
Hey, how about my show? Hey, you bum.
Stop, gentlemen. Stop, I warn you.
Hey, Pop. He's got that little tube out of his suitcase. He's pointing.
Grab him, Sweeney.
All right, give me that thing.
Let go of my arm.
Give it to me.
There. I warn you.
Never mind the warnings. Just you come along with us. We're going to have a little talk. Take him up the office, Sweeney.
Pop.
What?
Where's the taxi?
What?
The taxi.
If you look at the curb, you'll find your taxi.
Jumping saints. Pop, look at it.
Now, gentlemen, perhaps the world will believe in the validity of the Pertwee system of infinite acceleration.
All right, Hannibal, now you start talking.
I won't.
Hold his hand, Sweeney.
That's a pleasure.
Well, Hannibal?
Let me out of this office.
Talk.
Never.
Sweeney, where's the tube?
It's right here, Pop.
Now, Hannibal, I give you 5 seconds to talk. After which, I'm turning this tube on you for a taste of your own medicine. Now, think it over. 1, 2.
No.
3.
I hate them. Why should I save them?
4.
All right. Put it away, please.
That's better. Now, how did you do it?
Many years ago, Einstein posed a theory that if an object were sufficiently accelerated, it would gradually flatten out and eventually disappear altogether. Working on this approach, I evolved a method of accelerating the atoms within the molecules, setting an object spinning in 4 rather than 3 dimensions. For many years, I tried to sell my idea to the railroad for condensing freight and storage.
And you start the thing spinning with this little tube?
The tube sends out a whirling ring of electrons which engulf the object.
Why did you turn it on those buildings?
I was driven to it. Only something dramatic could shock the world into realizing my greatness.
But you'll restore them. You've brought back Grant's tomb.
I can restore them, yes.
Not can, Hannibal. Will.
On one condition.
Well?
That your paper give me full credit for my scientific achievement. Front page, pictures, a complete story.
It's a deal. Oh,
wait a minute, Pop. We don't even work for this paper anymore, remember?
We'll take care of that little matter, Sweeney. Mr. Coleman, this is Pop Atterby. You've just rehired me. Now, if you'd care to step down the hall into my new office, I think I can show you something make your hair stand on end. I have three missing buildings in my desk drawer.
Well?
He's on fire. Says he's coming down here to have me committed to an institution.
Fine.
All right, Atterby. All right. What's going on here? I fired you. I ordered you off these premises. If this is a joke,
Mr. Coleman, you see these models?
What about them?
What would you say if I were to tell you that these 5-inch models are actually the Empire State, Penn Station, the United States Post Office, and Burley's Bar, and a taxicab? All compressed 500 times. That there are people in them so tiny they can't see them. That even time is so compressed inside these buildings that movement is impossible.
This is insanity. Who is this man?
Sit down, Coleman. The show hasn't even started yet. Sweeney, put the taxicab out in the middle of the floor.
Okay, Pop.
Now, stand back. Hannibal, here's the tube. Now, do your stuff.
Stand back. Now.
Good Lord. I don't believe it. It's getting bigger.
I reverse the polarity of the spin very gradually.
What's the idea, blocking trapping, you lousy bum?
Hey, where am I? Hey, what happened? How did my cab get in this office?
Take it easy, George.
What is this? Who are you? Hey, ain't you the fat that skipped out on me? Hey, what is this, a bug house?
Well, Mr. Coleman,
I don't understand.
But you do believe.
Well, yes, I saw it right before my eyes.
Okay, well, then here's the deal. You give our boy Hannibal a front-page spread with pictures. He'll take these other buildings back to the original sites and restore them just like they were, with our cameras getting exclusive shots. Now, is it a bargain?
Is it a bargain? I may not be the best newspaper man in the world, but this is the biggest thing since Noah's Ark. You're rehired as city editor at your old salary.
My old salary?
All right, plus a 500 bonus.
Well, it's a deal. Treat it. Call composing. Tell them to double the size of the front page. Have them hold it for a red banner full-page headline. Got that?
Right.
Hello, Albert. This is Pop. Listen, I want all photographers up in my office right away. Call research. Tell that girl to have Columbia send a battery of big shots over to the former site of Penn Station. Happy boy!
Hey, Mike.
I'm busy, George. Sweeney, what's the word?
What is that?
All right. What is it?
All I want to know is, how do I get my hack out of this office?
Heard another adventure in time, space, and the unknown world of the future. The world of
Dimension.
Today, Dimension X is presented The Professor Was a Thief, an adaptation by George Lefferts, of a story by L. Ron Hubbard. Featured in the cast were Arthur Maitland as Pop, John Larkin as Sweeney, and John Gibson as the Professor. Your host was Norman Rose. Music by Bert Berman. Engineer Bill Chambers. Dimension X is produced by William Welch and directed by Edward King.
I know. Another break. What can I do? It's a promise to come back soon. Here's a show from the pretty early days of radio. In the Name of the Law. This particular episode dates back to July the 26th of 1936. That's exactly 10 years to the day before I was born.
In the name of the law, we bring you another of the thrilling stories in this exciting series, taken from actual police case files.
Our story begins in Chicago's Chinatown, Chicago's Limehouse, a strange medley of splendor and shabbiness.
Chinatown! Chinatown! We are now passing through Chicago's Limehouse, where silent and shadowy orientals go their mysterious ways.
So silent. Goodness, Ed, I wish you hadn't brought me on this trip. Chinatown's no place to bring a girl on a honeymoon.
Ah, oh, them Chinese invented firecrackers. Nothing ever happens in Chinatown these days, Kerry.
On the left is the headquarters of the An Liang Town. The towns of Chicago's Chinatown still carry out the sentences of Chinese
justice. Oh, Ed, I'm scared.
Oh, that was just firecrackers, Kerry. I tell you, nothing ever happens in Chinatown.
On the left is the Peking Police Station. This bus will stop for 15 minutes at Choi Fat Choi Tea Garden and Bazaar, where you may witness things in...
Peking Police Station. Lieutenant Healy speaking.
Lieutenant, this is Schroeder.
What is it, Sergeant?
Murder, Lieutenant.
Where?
Who?
Wong
Fu.
Wong Fu? The merchant who owns that big store?
Yeah. That big store looks like a shooting gallery now. Somebody killed Wong Fu last night. Used plenty of lead.
See, Jack? These Chinese shut up like a bunch of clams when you want to get anything out of them.
Hang Kong Nai Yong. I'll talk to you all again. I'm going inside shop now to look at murdered body of respected Wong Fu. After that, I want to talk particularly to you, Hong, and to you, Hong Chang. All right.
Let's go in, Lieutenant Healy.
Silks, carved ivories, old pottery, porcelain. Oh, fine shop, all right.
And here he lies in the middle of it, riddled with bullets.
Yes, a fine gentleman lies here. Oh, Sergeant Schroeder, is this the way you found Wong Fu?
Yes, Lieutenant Walsh. Right by this little altar here.
Yes, that Buddha could only speak. Did you cover Wong Fu with that banner?
No, sir. That's the way it was.
The Imperial Yellow Dragon of Old China. He must have pulled that banner off the wall in his struggle.
Did you break open that front door, Sergeant?
Yes, Lieutenant Healy. That mob of Chinese was outside when I came along at 8:30.
Wong Fu always opened this place at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, that's what all those Chinamen said. You're yelling about trouble and thought something must have happened. So I busted in the door and found Wong Fu. Like this.
Shot 5 or 6 times under the left chest. Oh, have you got that, Lindemann?
Yes, sir. I'm checking on those bullet holes in the wall, too.
And be sure your photographs show the position of the body in relation to that open safe.
Right.
I want a picture of this pair of slippers, too.
I have those, Lieutenant Walsh. And that sheet of wrapping paper near his right arm.
Looks as if he was shot down while he was wrapping up those slippers.
Hey, those are women's slippers. You think the murderer could have been a woman?
Well, somebody fired at least 12 bullets at Wong Fu. And nobody heard any gunfire? No reports on the blotter last night?
Nope. Not a firecracker shot off. Could have covered up pistol shots.
I'd say 6 of those bullets hit him. I don't think the trigger finger belonged to a woman, though.
But here's a woman's purse over here on the table.
Hey, and 3 glasses here. Hey, here's a bottle. I got pa.
What?
Oh, rice wine. Oh, beautiful glasses. Fine for fingerprints. Oh, take care of them, Schroeder.
Yes, sir.
Wong Fu must have been having a little party. Three glasses. Short will bring you Nong Chang and Fu Hong.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Hong Chang, Fu Hong, come on in.
Come on now. Your employer was murdered last night. None of this no talky business.
Hong Gintong Naki Wong Wong Fu.
Besides, you can speak English.
Sally Sally, Wong Fu, catchy trouble.
Honorable employer make much sadness. Chang.
Chang. You and Fu Hong were... Yeah, you both worked for Wong Fu, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Every day, workshop here.
Chang, your boss was a kind man, wasn't he?
Yes. Everybody hold in large esteem. He called Wang Fu Yang Ching.
Who killed him?
You see? Show me a Chinaman in a murder case and I'll show you a clam.
These men may tell us something. Yeah. They were clerks and porters here. When did you last see Wong Fu? What were his last words to you?
He said good night.
And what time was that?
11 o'clock last night.
Who was with you?
No tell.
I'll find out another way, Hong. Remember Tong Xiao. I hear many voices in Chinatown.
I with Hong last night.
And do you work until 11 o'clock every night?
No, not every night. Last night, Honorable Wong Fu invited us to sit with him, having tea and talk conversation.
You didn't have this rice wine from these glasses.
Oh, no. Not drinking gapa with Wong Fu on lip tea.
And you left him here at 11 o'clock last night?
Yes. He come to door with us. We bow. Say good night. Wong Fu shut door. We hear bolt inside.
Door bar lock.
We saw you leave. Who are your witnesses?
Nobody, see.
What woman was here last night?
You know there was a woman here. She left this purse. Who's this guy?
Who are you?
Well? I, Ah Hing, nephew Wong Fu. Have just here sadness of his death.
Yes, too bad, Ah Hing. You've not been in Chicago long, have you?
Short time, 3 weeks.
Ah Hing, have you any idea who could have killed your uncle?
Not no. Uncle have no enemies.
Do you know of any woman who came here? Somebody whose feet fit these slippers? Ah Hing, why didn't this woman take that jade necklace?
Don't know, woman. Tong find out, maybe. Maybe Tong take care.
Oh, so you'd rather have your uncle's tongue handled, eh? You'd rather get a hatchet man to pay off this murder, is that it?
No. Very sorry, uncle has gone to ancestors like this with bullets.
What's that?
Oh, they're mourning for Wong Fu. Oh, Sergeant Schroeder. Sergeant Schroeder. Come here a minute. There's the 3rd District wagon for the body. Bring these three Chinese down to headquarters. Keep that nephew away from those other two. He looks bad enough to kill them. He must have loved his Wong Fu. Come on, we're going to give you something better than rice cakes and tea.
Yeah.
Ever drink tea through a rubber hose? Come on, Lieutenant Haley.
We're going to see Lee Chung. Gentlemen, will you join me in Apple Bubble?
Well, thanks, Lee Chung, I will.
None of these water pipes for me. I'll stick to cigarettes.
And to each division. It is wise men who know his own desire. As for me, I prefer the pulverized tobacco of our Chinese hubble bubble, a cool, soothing, mellow method of smoking.
Yeah, it's really good, Walt. You ought to try it sometime. I'm trying to find out who murdered Wong Fu.
Lee Chung, we've come to you to help us solve this crime.
It saddens me to know that thus my friend Wong Fu has gone to the Flowery Kingdom. You know what Confucius say, Lieutenant Healy?
No, what, Lee Chung?
Were better that a man's bone never rests in holy place than he be dishonored by his friend.
That's exactly my idea, too.
Your idea of what? Say, I like this Chinese philosophy, too, but how's it going to help us find out who killed Wong Fu?
Dishonored by his friends. Now, Lee Chung, you have not title, but they call you mayor of Chinatown here in Chicago. I know we can depend upon you to solve this crime.
You know my people well, Lieutenant Boss. There is small help I can offer. Yet, I will do everything I can. It is well to remember that the murderer of Wong Fu was a wily, crafty person and trusted. Otherwise, Wong Fu would not open his safe in such a presence. Excuse me? Yes? Ayo, Hashang. Lieutenant Ward, you are to go to Bazaar of Hong Li.
Yes, Lee Chung. All right, come on, Walt.
Hong Li? Well, that's the place that receipt came from. The receipt in that purse we found in Wong Fu's store.
Yes, Lieutenant Healy, that is true.
Well, we stopped there on our way down here, and they wouldn't talk.
They will speak now. Ask to speak with Ah Chin. If you gentlemen should need me as poor translator of Chinese dialect, unfamiliar to you, do not hesitate to call upon this number first.
You can't keep me in my dressing room all night. I've got to go on for my act.
Miss Lee, you put on an act last night at Wong Fu's with a couple of girls.
I don't even know Wong Fu. His family is too wealthy for my act.
Su Tzu Chiao. But you are beautiful, Miss Lee.
How did that purse of yours get there on his table?
How should I know? I was singing here at Blossom Gardens last night. I couldn't have been at Wong Fu's. Impossible.
Hold out your foot, Miss Lee.
Quang Chao Quang. Do you want to take footprints?
No, but I'd like to try these slippers on.
Just wait a minute, Cinderella.
Hey. There. Let me get your shoe on.
What do you think of that? It's a perfect fit.
Well, how do you explain that, Miss Lee?
Explain what, gentlemen?
That this slipper, which we found in Wong Fu's dead hand, fits your foot. Exactly.
My foot would fit hundreds of slippers in any Chinese store. Any other Chinese girl
has... This is your purse, isn't it? You bought it at Hong Lee's Bazaar, didn't you?
I had one like it, but I lost it.
Who is it?
This manager, please. Time is dead and these acts going on. She's singing and dancing.
I'll be right out, Ching.
I think not, Miss Lee. Your next act is going on at headquarters.
No, I had nothing to do with it.
Take it down, Walt. I'm going over to her apartment and look for a gun.
I did know Wong Fu, but I didn't kill him. That is all I can tell you. There is nothing more. I, Yang Chao.
Chinese funerals before, but those bits of paper are new to me. What are they for, Lee Chung?
A devil in human form has taken Wong Fu's life. Those little strips of paper, 10,000 of them, are to protect his immortal soul from devils.
How's that?
In every strip of paper, there are 9 small holes. 90,000 holes altogether.
What do they do?
To reach Wong Fu's soul, each one of the 10,000 Chinese devils would have to crawl through each of these 90,000 holes.
Well, his murderer has crawled through a hole so far.
But you think you do not yet have the murderer?
That's right. I didn't want to come to this funeral. I don't mind a good Irish wake, but these Chinese burials give me the creeps.
Wong Fu's tongue knows not his murderer, else their justice would have reached him.
Yeah, with a hatchet. Oh, whoa. Watch all the faces around here and see if they tell you anything. Hey, Lee Chen, do you see Ah Hing over there?
You mean the tall one who is Wong Fu's nephew?
Yes. You notice anything, Quillen?
His face is sometimes like a mask, and
sometimes... Yes, sometimes he's very nervous. He's not acting like a Chinese at a funeral.
Yeah, something is eating that guy. He was smoking a lot of cigarettes outside a while ago. Chain smoking them, too.
Well, I've got a hunch. I think we'd better take Ah Hing to a resting place at the Peking Station. It's better to talk now, Ah Hing.
But I do not belong in your prison. In this small cell.
Yes, your uncle doesn't belong in his grave tonight either.
Where'd you get the money, Ah Hing?
I suppose you found it in your uncle's safe.
It's better to talk now, Ah Hing. Tong Sa Bang, the hatchets of the tongues are sharp.
I receive money from China.
From a relative, I suppose?
Yes, from another uncle in Shanghai.
If you needed money, why didn't you go to your uncle Wong Fu for it?
Because you knew he wouldn't give it to you. You're a lazy Chinaman and don't like work. Isn't that about it?
Money came from Shanghai.
You took that $600 from your uncle's safe.
Why was woman's purse found and woman's slipper?
We'll explain that. You explain why you hid that money in the mattress of your bed.
And where did you hide the gun? Or was it two guns? You filled your uncle with enough lead, all right?
Woman murdered my uncle. Came to steal the necklace. After my uncle was dead, she lost confidence in that necklace. Oh, what does it matter?
This light must have gone out. Light is over here.
It's dark.
Oh, Draper, bring us a light bulb, will you, please? This one went out.
Okay, Lieutenant.
I'll
bring one out of here.
There you are. Oh, it's
nice
darkness.
Ouch.
So much darkness.
Yeah, there you are.
Oh, light.
Did Shannon crack yet? No. He got that $600 from another uncle in Shanghai.
Just a minute. Oh, Sergeant Draper, is there anyone in solitary?
No, Lieutenant. Ain't had anybody there since Pig Iron Rogers last week.
Good. Come on along, Ah Hing. We're going to put you where you can think things over a little better.
Where are you taking me, please?
The solitary. Well, yeah, this cell right here.
In there? In dark?
Yeah. You don't like the dark, do you, Ah Hing?
No. Please do not lock me in dark. It is full of devils.
And it's full of ghosts, too. I think you'll find the ghost of your uncle, Wong Fu, in there. You killed him, didn't you?
No. Please, honorable policeman, put me anywhere in prison, but not in dark. Please do not lock me up in here. This is full of devils in here. Please, honorable policeman, let me out.
Why did you kill Wong Fu?
I know nothing about his murder. Please let me out. It is so dark.
Ah Hing, you're going to stay in there, in the dark, until you tell us the truth.
Do not keep me in darkness. This is all around me. This is so black and full of devils. Hey, Hong, hey, Hong, hey, Hong.
He's been in there 5 hours now, Lee Chun.
I think perhaps he is ready now to speak.
Well, Ah Hing, why did you murder your uncle?
Wong Fu did not die by my hand. Could not kill relatives of family blood.
You spilled plenty of family blood. Why don't you admit it?
I think he will.
I cannot confess murder. I could not commit.
Yeah, let's just go down the corridor a little way. All right. Very well, Ah Hing. You like the dark so much, you stay in there.
Let me out. Do not keep me in darkness. Do not keep me in darkness. I will stay out, Wong Fu.
Lee Chung, what's he saying?
He says he killed Wong Fu.
I
killed
Wong Fu. I murdered my uncle. Let me out of this darkness. I will save you.
All right, Ah Hing. Well, Draper, get him along to take on this confession.
Okay, Lieutenant. Hello, Bruce. Bring your book. All right.
No more darkness.
Sit down here, Ah Hing. Now, tell us how you killed your uncle.
I will tell you, Wong Fu. Please, I will tell you something.
Speak English.
Yeah, how can I take that stuff down?
It's hysterical. He will speak now only in his own language.
You translate for us, will you, Lee Chung?
I will do so.
What's he saying?
He says, I killed my uncle. I was in need of money.
Take that down, Malone. I'm getting the
money.
He says, I went to my uncle and asked him to give me money. He says, no, you are very wasteful, and I would not find favor in eyes of my ancestors unless you change your mode of living.
But, Wang Fu, honorable uncle, I am in need of money. I earn so little. I, too, earned little money, my nephew, when I was young. But your mode of living is not pleasing to me, nor to my ancestors.
How could I please you, revered uncle?
By earning some of money, saving it, bringing it to me, to show me.
He is saying, I borrowed $60. He says, I bought a gun with $10 of this money, and I took it with me to my uncle's shop. This was on last Saturday night. He says, I stole a woman's purse and took it with me to leave it in shop. To confuse honorable police.
I'll say it confuses.
He is saying, my uncle received me well when I showed him the money.
Here is some which I have earned, revered uncle, as you commanded. $50. My nephew, you make me glad. Now I am sure our ancestors will approve your mode of living. I will give you a little present, and we shall have some wine.
Ah, Nagapa.
This is very poor rice wine.
It is best one could taste.
Mm.
It matches in beauty, jade necklace which you keep in your face.
Mm. A miserable necklace.
Ah, it is priceless, my uncle.
Would you like to gaze upon it?
His humble eyes would indeed like to see it.
I shall open the safe and get it out. My jade necklace. Most cherished of all my poor possessions.
Carved 3,000 years ago and grown in beauty day by day.
My nephew, you have denied yourself pleasure in saving this $50. I shall now give you a little present, which perhaps you would like to give to someone you cherish.
See, Nippers.
Happy the woman whose foot they will fit.
Revered uncle.
But, nephew, why do you have a gun?
Revered uncle, I bring it to kill you.
He says he took money from his safe, taking care to wear gloves and to wipe off all fingerprints from the wine glass. He says he did not take the jade necklace because he knew he would be caught by the town. He threw the gun into the river. That is all.
Thank you, Lee Chung. Ah Hing, why did you leave a third wine glass on the table?
I left it there for confusion of honorable police.
But it didn't work, Ah Hing. You forgot just one thing.
What Ah Hing forget?
You were afraid of the dark.
King, the jury having found you guilty of murder as charged, criminal court of Cook County hereby sentences you to imprisonment in the state penitentiary in Joliet, Illinois, for the rest of your natural life.
Be with us again when truth and justice triumph. In the name of the law.
Another 5-minute mystery.
afternoon is cloudy and overcast, with probably showers this evening.
Why do you bother with that radio writing? There's never anything new.
What else is there to do around a firehouse, Edens?
Sleep and go to fires.
We'll be going to enough fires, all right, if they don't catch that arsonist who's been trying to burn up the whole city.
Yeah, I'd like to get my hands on that devil.
Maybe we will, Edens. Maybe we will.
Holy smoke, here we go again.
Watch that baby burn.
Looks like the end of the world, doesn't it?
They don't get their bloodhounds after that firebug. It soon will be.
Hey, who's that guy the chief's dragging along here?
I don't know, but he's really got a grip on his arm.
Maybe it's the firebug.
Hey, chief, who's the man you're holding?
The rat who's been setting all these fires.
Where are you taking him?
Down to the station. Put out this blaze and hurry along.
You hear that, Wrighton? Pour on the water. I want to see a firebug get singed.
You still deny that you set that fire?
Let me call my lawyer. You can't question me this way. It's illegal.
Let me go to work on him, Chief.
That won't be necessary, Edens. I'm sure this prolific arsonist will come clean in just a few minutes.
You got no proof?
You were seen running out of the burning building just as the engines pulled up. How did the fire start?
Listen, pal, I tell you, I don't know. Now will you let me go?
Why did you wait till the fire had gained so much headway before you finally ran out?
I just woke up and I heard your sirens drawing near the building.
Listen, my friend. We're out to break this cycle of arson that's been slowly destroying the city. You're in for some pretty rough weather ahead unless you come clean and tell me how that fire started. The sooner you give me the truth, the easier it'll go with you.
All right, Chief, I'll play ball with you. The whole fire was an accident.
What?
Yeah, I swear it was. I really went in there to get some sleep. And when I woke up, I lit a cigarette. That was my big mistake. The building was so old, it was almost falling apart, and there were cobwebs hanging all over the place. While I was shaking out the flame of the match, it hit some of the cobwebs hanging from the low beams, and that was it. Webs caught fire and spread to the roof, and the dry wood began to burn in a flash.
What do we do now, Chief?
Take him to the police and book him on a charge of arson. His story shows that he deliberately set that fire.
What are you talking about, Chief? I told you it was an accident.
If it was, you would have told a different story. You see, there was one very important flaw in your story that condemned it as a lie.
Prove it.
You said that the cobwebs caught fire and spread to the roof. Well, I'm afraid that isn't quite accurate. Unfortunately for you, cobwebs don't flame. All right, boys, take him away. Our firebug needs cooling off.
That's it for this week. I also want to just take a moment here and tell you how much I appreciate how many of you hung around during the recent interruption in shows. Makes me think that just possibly I'm doing something right. I promise I'll be here next week.